Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful people and kindle in us the fire of your love. Amen. The sound of a violent wind and yet no displacement of anything, leaves or anything else that would bear the marks of that wind being present. Suddenly, human candles with flame flickering above their heads and the ability of uneducated, ordinary people to speak in all of the languages of the people present from all over the world, understanding what they're saying, being understood in what they've said. If you take your mind's eye and you play out that movie production that you would make to present this to the world on celluloid, you would realize that you're dealing with breathtaking moments, supernatural things that cannot be explained or even perceived before they ever happened, as prophesied, and as they were happening. No human beings understood what was going on. Confused about a lot of things, everyone on all sides wasn't sure. But the apostle made sure they understood. Everything you are experiencing has been foretold. All of this is fulfilling very ancient prophecies. And as you and I experience these things for ourselves in the way that we imagine them, there are moments when we think to ourselves what it would have been like to be there. You might even find yourself somewhat envious of the disciples and their opportunities with Jesus, especially the day he arose and those appearances that extended through those 40 days until he ascended. And that promise that they had for those 10 days of waiting between that moment that he left them and the arrival of everything he had promised in that Holy Spirit coming upon them with power. Remember how Jesus had told them, "The Holy Spirit will remind you of everything I have said to you." And then he commissioned them to take that word that the Holy Spirit would remind them of to every corner of the earth, first Judea, then Samaria, to the very ends of the earth. There are moments when you and I wish we could see Jesus face to face. We wish we could have these powerful, supernatural experiences that would lock us in and give us the kind of confidence and clarity and conviction that they clearly had, because they didn't have it before that moment. It stuns us, doesn't it? That people like Peter, who just weeks earlier had denied even ever knowing Jesus, calling down curses upon himself in that moment, is now the one standing in the breach, telling the world what it needs to hear in the name of Jesus Christ and proclaiming him to be everything they had been looking for in a Messiah, in a God and Lord and King and Savior that they desperately needed to know better. But it wasn't just him. Listen to the prophecy of Joel as it intersects with the writing of Luke in Acts and Paul in Corinthians, and come to realize young and old, men and women, that day, those who believed in Jesus were empowered to do something incredibly amazing. Not just to speak the word to people from all over the place who had no expectation that someone in that moment would be translating for them what Peter was saying from the podium in their own language perfectly and flawlessly, but the message that they were communicating was also perfect and flawless in its relating everything that needed to be known for any human being to have the certainty of life with God forever. The payment for every sin, the release from all guilt, the certainty of life after death, resurrection from the grave, because, as Peter would point out, the grave over there that contains David, he was the ancestor of the great son of David, who has no grave at Jerusalem, even though he had it for just a few days. Everything that Peter preached was was laid out for everyone present to understand every single word, not only in translation, but also in concept, intention, and spirit. It's just flat out amazing when you think about it. And when you and I turn our minds and our hearts towards envying them in that moment, any of them would say right back at you. Every one of them had to wonder what this is all becoming. You've been involved in such endeavors in life where something simple is turning into something much bigger, and you're wondering, where does this all lead, and where does it end, and how does it impact, and how long does it last? Those first disciples of Jesus were allowed special measures of spiritual things. Some of them, like the speaking of known languages without having to learn them. Imagine that for a moment. Anybody who's studied any foreign language, how much time you spent on the vocables and the constructions and all the intricacies of a language that you're not natively hearing and understanding. To be able to fluently speak it without a single lesson, without any effort whatsoever, speak it and understand it, that's an amazing gift. But it's not the only gift the Holy Spirit gave the early Christian church. We'll examine those in a moment. But all of those people would have loved to see the reality that you and I live on a daily basis, especially in our culture, in our moment, the freedom we have to go anywhere, speak to anyone about anything that God has done for them and given us opportunity to speak to them. But it's not just with our mouths. We have so many opportunities on so many platforms with so many different elements of technology to proclaim to every corner of the earth. You and I, sitting right here today, can reach people across the globe in numbers like no one else has ever imagined before. And thousands of years later, the Holy Spirit is still fulfilling all of his promises with power in completely different ways. And yet it's getting done. And you and I are gathered this morning because we are equally miracles of the Holy Spirit's work, as the Word and the sacraments have done the work that God had promised they would do of turning hearts and minds and lives to Christ. And so Paul says to you, therefore I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. The first part of it, yeah, you're saying, I can't imagine any believer ever doing what Peter did and literally cursing Jesus, saying, I don't care, Jesus can go to hell. You don't think any believer would ever say that, because that's ultimately what Paul is saying. I said it more crassly, but that is what Paul is saying. But Paul's saying, recognize also, there isn't a single soul that's ever believed in Jesus, called him Lord, acknowledged him as King and Savior without the Holy Spirit working that. And so he's reminding you and me how it is that we sit here today celebrating this festival, praising our God for the work he did, not just 2,000 years ago, and not just with the world that needed to hear the gospel, but the work he did inside of each one of us. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. So when you and I are somewhat envious of the Old Testament believers that got those special opportunities to do supernatural things, recognize the Holy Spirit saying, but there are gifts you have that they didn't have that they also would envy. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in every one, it is the same God at work. You and I can hear that, understand that, and apply that differently today than any other believers in the course of history. But understand what Paul is saying in that moment. Yeah, there's all kinds of new and unusual and supernatural things going on, but don't be mistaken. The Holy Spirit is the one working in all of them and through all of them to do everything God had ever promised would be done. And you and I today can still say the same thing. The world around us sees all of these technologies and realities as something to use for furthering the endeavors of human beings and making money and retaining power over other human beings. And the Holy Spirit says, yeah, that's all fine and good. None of it serves my purpose. I'm going to use it to save souls. And you and I come to realize everything in our lives, everything in our world that is available to us to meet the opportunities of sharing God's word, his love and forgiveness are brought about by the Holy Spirit. And it is so varied and so unique in so many ways. There are moments when you hear reports from mission fields or surrounding neighborhoods and you say to yourself, who would have ever thought of that? And the Holy Spirit has inspired somebody to think of that and use that opportunity or that situation for the purpose of glorifying God the same way the disciples did on that very first Pentecost. So all of the service, all of the working, all of it done in the name of God is done by that same God that worked those miracles that day. And now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. You and I, we're living in a world that's so focused on each of us finding what's good for me, number one. And yet here we're told what the Holy Spirit is all about is working for the good of everyone. That includes us. Thankfully, praise our God that he has included us. But what he intends through us is a common good that impacts everyone everywhere. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. That's optimistic faith. That's beyond just saving faith. The kind of trust in God that leads you to be an example to others of following God's will and God's promises. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. Notice the small s there. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. You see that list and you say, okay, I understand what some of these things are because I still see them happening. Some of these things are clearly no longer happening. That's exactly how God intended it to be. All kinds of extraordinary, supernatural, spiritual gifts were given to the original disciples as promised for the duration of their time of life and service in this world. And then they slowly evaporated. The point isn't this exhaustive list, so to speak, being what we look for and measure against. Paul's making a completely different point here. Everything on that list is something that was happening in the church, in the world, in the moment that he was writing this text. He's not looking for us to be wishing we had these gifts, but rather to recognize what really goes on in the Holy Christian Church. That God gathers people with unique abilities and life experiences and training and natural abilities as well to add to the spiritual abilities that he gives so that each one of us will find a place within the fabric of the holy family of God, the holy Christian church, to do the work that God has uniquely tasked us to do with the abilities he's uniquely given us to accomplish them. His gifts. You and I using them faithfully to serve him and for the common good. And you and I come to realize everything we're being told in these verses connects us to thousands of years of progressive, intentional activity of the Holy Spirit to the moment that we now live. We don't know what's coming next. Jesus could return on the clouds within the rest of this day, or there may be some continuous expansion of new ways to share the word and express it as long as it's faithfully guided by what the Lord has actually told us in his word to millions more people before this world ends. Ways that we've never imagined in a similar way to the first disciples, having no idea how we would live and worship and express ourselves and witness for Christ in the day in which we live. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. Recognize how common and consistent that expression, that last expression, is throughout the writings of Paul and all over the place in the New Testament. God knows your name. He knows your address. He knows your email address and your phone number as well. And he knows who you are, and he knows the unique reality of how you fit into the world that he has created around you. And he's given you gifts, and he's given you opportunity, and he's given you mentoring through others who have caught your ear and your eye in regard to how they're going about meeting the realities you have in your life to lead you to be the witness that you are to be, that you've been called to be. It is your vocation amongst the other vocations of your life. Witnessing for Christ, being everything he has called you to be, and using all the unique realities of your life that make you who you are in your moment for the common good, by the guiding of the Spirit. And so Paul wants you to understand this statement, that all these are the work of one and the same Spirit to include you. To include you in the echoing reality of the Holy Christian Church through the ages and into the future, the eternal future, as those who know and understand, who love to hear about and connect with those people presented to us in the Scriptures that were as much our brothers and sisters as the one sitting on the throne of heaven is still our brother, wearing our human nature and ruling all things for the good of his church. That together, we have the ability to know with certainty that we can meet that same kind of clarity and confidence and conviction that the early disciples did. Because the Holy Spirit is still working in exactly the same way through believers who love their Lord, who rejoice in his forgiveness, and who are moved by his love and the gift of his righteousness by his Holy Spirit to give themselves fully to the work he has called us to do for the common good. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit. And it is marvelous in our eyes. Come, Holy Spirit, renew the hearts of your faithful people and kindle in us the fire of your love. Amen. Please stand. We'll grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen.